Yep, we are ready.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the Civil Service Commission to order. It's June 5th, 3:00 PM, and let's start with a roll call. Let us know that you're here and if you have any new conflicts of interest to disclose.
And Richard Daniels, no new conflicts, and my standing conflict, I think it's been well noted for the records.
Thank you. I'm Joe Vanderstoop, no conflicts.
Okay, I'm Julie Hersom and no conflicts.
I'm Trennan Bird and no conflicts.
And do you two say that you're here too on the record?
Scott Snyder, Commission Counsel.
Amber Richards, Secretary and Chief Examiner.
Thank you very much. Next part is public comment, and I see no members of the public here, so we'll go on to new business. Let's review the May 1st meeting minutes and then consider approval of those.
Looks good. I move that we approve the minutes for the May 1st meeting.
I'll second.
And any further discussion or questions? All right, let's have a vote then. All in favor of approving the minutes of the May 1st meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Passed.
I did have a question on the agenda. Not a question, but I noticed that it says like vice chair. It doesn't seem updated, number one.
Ah. Good eye.
Somehow it got deleted. I will amend this.
Okay. All right, thanks. And then, Amber, will you talk us through certifying scores from?
Yes, so I have the scores here.
Oh yeah, that would have been quite a job trying to find another chief.
But not ours, I just want.
I know, yeah, I saw your email, but, or something, I got mine now, but.
So we've got our actual, just throw those down there. So these are the entry level scores. We had three candidates confirmed and one no show. But aside from that, the candidates were, obviously one was better than the other. There was nothing that really notable in the interviews. We had good panelists. So I think that, again, the process is reflective of, or the scores are reflective of the process, and there's really nothing interesting as to relate. Neither of them were veterans, so there's no preference applied. But those seem good, solid, not knock it out of the park, but also like not underwhelming either, so that's good.
Good. All right.
All right, I move to approve the entry level.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? All right, so we're certified on the entry level.
And then the lateral. There's two there. So for this, we only had one candidate, so there was only one confirmed. We had a couple confirmed that canceled before, so they weren't no-shows. The one that was fully confirmed showed up and was okay. Not as strong as the entry levels, but you know, did an okay job. I think it was mostly nerves, but the score is reflective of the performance that was given, and
okay.
It was, you know, we had good panelists, and there was really nothing notable on this one either. The candidate was not a veteran, so.
Can we ask where, I'm just curious where he's from, or?
Well, he's local.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Was it the same panel for entry and lateral?
No. So the there's different requirements, and the commission had specified these before. So for entry level, we use, so they're all the number is the same, and to some degree, the composition is the same. We use four panelists, one officer. If it's an entry level panel, we use one officer from our department, one officer from a department within Kitsap County, and then we use two residents. And then for lateral officers, we use a sergeant or higher position, so that the person conducting the interview has a higher rank than the person interviewing. So we had two sergeants. Sometimes we'll get a lieutenant. So we don't have lieutenants any longer, but like if Kitsap County or some other organization that has lieutenants sends one, then we sometimes have a lieutenant. It's mostly sergeants though. So we'll have a sergeant from our department, a sergeant or above from a department within the county, and then two residents. I did have one resident, so one of the residents was the same on the entry and the lateral, but that was the only similarity. So the officers and the sergeants were different, and the second panelists were different both days. So yeah,
I'm just curious. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion then to certify the lateral entry test score.
I'll second the motion.
All right. So any further discussion? All right, moved and seconded that we approve the lateral police officer, certify those scores. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? All right, motion passes.
So Amber, there's not too many here. There's a total of three new. Are we going to come up to a point where our list is a lot of people are expiring?
So I looked at everything before this meeting, and we have currently 7 on the entry level list and 10 on the lateral list. And the entry level, there's nothing expiring on the entry levels for a while. And the next set of folks to expire on the lateral list, there's 2 that drop off on August 1st. So we'll still have 8. And there's a good number of candidates that haven't been looked at. So I think we have 1 vacancy. You know, we obviously want to stay ahead of the game, but if we can give the opportunity to some of the candidates to at least be looked at, I think that's always a good, if we have the ability to do that, that's always good. So my thinking was that we would look again, or try to schedule, it depends on if you decide to cancel the July meeting, but I was going to propose at the August meeting that we schedule another round and kind of, you know, I don't know if the timing, again, we've done like almost every other month we've had, aside from with my medical leave, but like prior to that, we basically had a panel, like every meeting we were scheduling a panel and then certifying scores. And then, so I think that maybe if we kind of let a little bit of time go by, let summer get started, and then do something, you know, in early August, we start recruiting and trying to put a panel together then. I think maybe we'll have a little bit better luck.
Okay.
I was thinking like before school starts, so if we set the date at the August meeting, mm-hmm. then, you know, we could set it for like the 3rd week or something in August. That would give me time to do, you know, find people and find panels and everything, and it's before school goes back in session. And that's kind of what I was thinking. But I think for now, we're in a good spot based on, you know, the 1 vacancy that we have and the number of folks on the list, and knowing that there's some solid candidates there that haven't had a good look. And so spot. That's a good question.
And so the chief is actively looking for a replacement for the vacancy right now,
mm-hmm.
but he hasn't asked for any more names, or
so
he's got his same 3.
he's got the same. He was actually looking at one of the lateral candidates that was from the last panel that we did originally. He said he, you know, was interested in entry levels, but then he didn't really love any of the entry levels from the last panel, but there was a lateral that was promising, so he was giving that a shot. But he hasn't asked, you know, and until these are certified, it won't really change much of anything. So he hasn't asked for a new list, but you know, this I think we'll give him maybe one or two new names. So and with the, especially with the laterals expiring in August, you know, he'll have a couple more. And I have another update that's not related to hiring that may also impact names moving up on the list. So, but yeah, I think for now we're in a good spot. It's always a balancing act of like, you don't want to waste people's time. We don't want to have these really lengthy lists because we really don't have a lot of vacancies open, you know, with the exception of like a couple years ago.
It just seems like a waste to get everybody in for a oral board panel for just one person for a lot of
It is. It's a lot of you know, and this is not a complaint in any way, but it is there's a lot of administrative burden involved in, you know, organizing these, and I always feel bad for the panelists because, you know, it's initially I'm asking them to basically block out their entire day because our goal is to fill them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're holding that until, you know, especially for the laterals, like almost up to the end, until I really know that, you know, we're not going to get anybody who applies the night before that's local that can maybe make it or whatever. So it is definitely a lot for, you know, for one candidate. And that's why I was kind of thinking, like, you know, we're not, the department was fully staffed, granted, for a very short period of time, so they're not in a horrible position. I know the morale over there is good. They're not like, oh God, we really need people. We've got some solid candidates that haven't really been looked at. And I was just thinking, like, if we just maybe give a little bit of a pause, then maybe we'll have, you know, we'll get some more candidates so we can, you know, get a little bit more value out of those days. I've also thought about, you know, does it make sense to do both panels on the same day and do like the morning is dedicated for entry levels and the afternoon is dedicated for laterals. I really think there's value in having them separated because I don't want to say the quality, but there is an apparent difference in the level of knowledge that each group brings to the table. And I feel like if we just said, hey, we're going to do interviews on X day and they were intermingled, I think that would not provide a very sound process. So I think if you did that, you'd have to say, okay, morning, you'd have to, you know, separate them morning and afternoon for one or the other. But then are you limiting, you know, when the candidate, like if somebody can only make it during that really narrow window, does that limit the pool because we're saying, oh, you know, I can't come in any earlier than this, and so then they miss that chance, you know? So I don't know, there's certainly pros and cons to looking at doing that. Because, you know, we could have done that with this. We would have had then three interviews, and you could do two of the, you know, the entries in the morning and the one lateral after lunch and be good to go. I would, if I was going to do that, not saying that it's my decision, but if that was the structure, I think it would be really important to do the entry levels first, sure, followed by the laterals, so that you're not, because I think if you did the laterals first, the entry level scores would be possibly impacted like negatively because the bar would be set for laterals. So I think you would want to build. But anyway, there are certainly different things that we could think about, but
it would be worth it to think about that again, dividing it that way. And, you know, as far as people's availability, I think for a lot of jobs, if you want to be considered for a position, you make yourself available, mm-hmm, when the interviews
mm-hmm. schedule. And mm-hmm. certainly within a half day, it's right. going to be on the morning of this day. And
yeah.
Maybe a little flexibility yeah, there.
And it seems like it'd be just a little, make it easier for the panelists who are taking time out of their life.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. Of course, the other way you could do that is have different panels in the morning and the afternoon, and then somebody's giving up a half day instead of a full day, and yeah. you also have.
Well, we also we want to have more people in the interview, so changing the format to accommodate a small number of applicants, I feel like we should focus more on maybe waiting longer in between boards mm-hmm. so that we can have we can have two full days.
Yeah, and that certainly is like that's what we want to shoot for. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So maybe if there are no openings in August, this one's been filled and there aren't any others, maybe then we don't even schedule it for August, but wait a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, look out towards like October timeframe or something. September is always horrible. It's just mm-hmm. a really busy month, but you know, we could look at that and mm-hmm. like I said, there's plenty of names on the list
yeah.
at this point, so mm-hmm. there's no harm in doing that and kind of playing it by ear, mm-hmm. so. But that actually, does bring up another. So at the last meeting we talked about panelists, and I am losing not all but a majority of my panelists. So one of the gentlemen, Robin Goldston, who's a regular panelist, is going to be the president of Rotary this year, so this was his last panel for quite some time. A couple of them have moved, but one of the panelists this time is in the process of moving off the island, so he won't be a resident anymore, and then obviously is not qualified to sit on the panel. And one of my previous, like, regular panelists recently moved off island as well, and then somebody else is not available anymore. So a big chunk of the kind of people that were good, solid panelists are
okay.
not going to be available to me anymore. So we definitely will want to look at doing some recruiting there. And we talked about this last time. I have some other folks in mind. Tom McCloskey has sort of mentioned to me that he'd be interested in doing it and, like, you know, is not, from my perspective, is not someone that you would have to worry about being biased or, you know, against the department in any way or, so I think he would be a good person to use. So I think there's some people out there, but it's definitely easier to identify people that we kind of think would do a good job versus just doing a general call.
So you'd like to hear from us if we have suggested people that way?
Yeah, absolutely. So. If you have folks that you know, just encourage them to reach out to me, and then I can either put a list. I mean, it's really up to you how you want to do it. In the past, we have done these sort of general calls for volunteers, and then I think a lot of them were sort of unknown to us, and so the commission has always, I think you and Dan were on one at one point, there's always been like a subcommittee of commissioners who reach out and call the people that are interested, mm-hmm. and I think that if there are people that we sort of say, hey, these people are known to us and we're not worried about them, then I don't know if that step is necessary, but it's like, I'm not trying to take that away from the commission either. It's just sort of your preference of how do you want to address that. But if you have people that are interested, they can contact me and I can put a list together and we can have that on the agenda for the August or for the July or August meeting, and you can decide to have a subcommittee to call people or just decide to use them, or it's come back to you.
Good. I mean, I have in mind a few people that I give you their names and I'll do what you've suggested. I'll talk to them first and see if they're interested and ask them to reach out to you. I mean, some of you have some ideas of people in mind. Let's try that and see what that yields.
Yeah, because even just a handful, you know, if I could get four or five or so, that's, you know, generally that's a pretty good, you know, obviously more is better, but we've had pretty steadily, probably about four or five that are almost always, available. And then the ones that are on there on the list, there's a handful that just, they've committed, but they're never available, or they never respond, or whatever, and so.
So you have a list now of about how many?
There's, I'd have to look. There's three folks on there, four folks on there that are interested that I would not use again.
Uh-huh.
And there's three folks that I've reached out to, and they're always like, oh, keep me, I'm definitely interested, but they're never available. And then there's like probably four or five folks that are in this group that I was talking about. One of them is still available. That the gentleman that sat on both panels this time is here probably for a very long time, and he's always like happy to get involved, and so he's still good. But there's about four that have other commitments that are going to prevent them from being involved, or have moved or are in the process of moving in, so they won't be available. So
you'd like to get four to six, maybe?
Yeah.
Reliable ones added to your list.
Yeah. And the panels are never on weekends.
No.
Okay.
And the commitment really is to a half day or a day, a few times a year. Maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more there are, maybe it's only one time a year or whatever, but yeah.
And there's plenty of notice too.
Yeah, because like it's, you know, at least usually between 3 and 4 weeks, sometimes more than that. So, and we give them free lunch and coffee and pastries.
Oh, free lunch.
There you go.
That's
thing.
That thing about there is no. All right.
Yeah, well, there definitely is not. They pay.
Shall we go on to considering canceling July regular meeting?
I move that we cancel the July meeting.
Would anybody like to discuss it?
You have that all second just so we can open up discussion. I think we pretty much hashed it out already. Probably the right thing to do. So I'll second.
All right.
Okay.
Any further discussion of that? All right. All in favor of canceling the July meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're canceled for July.
Okay.
All right, no report by the chief of police today. He's reported in the newspaper. He's staying. That's it.
Was that it? Okay.
And then on to you, Amber.
So I have just let me cross this out. I have really one update. I got a request from the department, from the appointing authority, to disqualify a candidate, and reviewed the information that was submitted to me, determined that from my determination that there was cause to disqualify the candidate in accordance with our rules. I worked closely with Scott on this, and for purposes of if there is an appeal, I'm not going to provide any like fact or contextual background on what the matter was, but I did want to just let you know that I received that request and that I essentially upheld the request, and I did notify the candidate according to the provisions in our rules.
You
so
did,
yeah.
Okay.
No, I did. So on May 30th, I sent a notice via email and also by certified mail to the addresses that were the address that was on file from the candidate, and so I'm waiting to see whether.
How long does the candidate have to appeal?
10 days. And I do know that the email was read, and I sent a read receipt, a delivery receipt and a read receipt with the email, and it was opened and read right away. At least that's what the notification said. But the hard copy was mailed out on the same day with certified mail, and I have the receipts from all of that, and I saved, basically I have all the documentation that's needed. So there's 10 days that he has to appeal, should he choose to, and then I will, if I don't hear anything, I will remove that person from the lateral eligibility list. So that will move some things around too. Is there anything?
No, as Amber noted, the why we would like to resign.
reserve. The actual, her determination would be a procedural document that you could review because it's part of the record. We suggest that we not get into a discussion just in case there's something.
At our next meeting, assuming there's, well, if there isn't, if it's finalized or not, will we eventually hear, here's what the circumstances were?
Well, again, the document itself and the determination would be available, as would be the request of the appointing authority, because those are procedural documents that are part of, they're public records, so you could certainly reveal. What we wanted to make sure is that there wasn't any, set any basis that you'd prejudged in the event of an appeal.
Right. Makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
And if need be, we can always call a special meeting if there is an appeal. So, and it, so I'm not like rambling now, but the July meeting is just at a bad time, and because it's like, I think it's the 3rd of July or something. So
yeah,
if we needed to have to get together, I can reach out and schedule a special meeting if there's business that needs to be attended to prior to that or after.
And otherwise, let's see, our next meeting, August. Anybody know what the first Tuesday in August is?
It is.
Right, 7th.
7th.
All right. Okay, anything else, Amber?
The only other thing, when since you weren't here the last time, the dates for the Civil Service Conference have been set. It's a Thursday and Friday this year. So if you're interested, it's the 20th, I believe, is the pre-conference, which is the new commissioner. They always have that new commissioner briefing, and but the 21st is the actual conference. So if you have interest in going, just let me know and I can make you a reservation and make sure that you get registered. So I don't actually think the registration is open yet, just the dates were provided. But I did make a couple of lodging reservations for Trennan and you. I know Dan, Trennan and Dan for sure.
I definitely want to go. Okay. It's just, I had a conflict with my other commission last year.
And there's plenty of time. So I was like, I didn't think I made one for you. So I know that Trennan and Dan have.
Okay, now stay in touch. The only thing I'm locking out is if I have another conflict, and I doubt that will happen. But it's good training.
It is.
Stay on top.
I will not be able to attend this year. I am speaking at the ICMA conference in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That happens at the same, I'll have to leave that Friday. So, to attend, but it is exciting.
Yeah, what are you speaking about?
Emergency management. So they're doing a case study of our community, of our program. So
because what's so good is that
it is kind of a it is a good program. It's a solid program, and it's a we've had a lot of success in really engaging the community and getting a lot of buy-in because of the model that we have, and I think because of that, it's really helped us accomplish a lot more with very limited resources. And there's a lot of organizations out there that have very small emergency management organizations, and so they're sort of showcasing the model that we have.
With lots of volunteer hours.
That's good to know.
Going
I feel
into.
Very. Yeah, I have a couple friends who have done some of the training. Terry Snyder,
bad name. Oh, Rahi Balas.
Yeah, I know
that. I know who you're talking about. I can picture her, but I don't know how to say her last name. Yes, yeah, she did the wilderness first responder training and has been involved.
Terry did too.
Okay. Yeah, actually, okay. Does she have curly?
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I know exactly
yeah.
who you're talking about. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on related to that, but it is very exciting. We were recognized by FEMA. At the National Preparedness Symposium a couple weeks ago, my counterpart was invited to speak about our model, so there's a lot happening in that area, so But I always enjoy the civil service conference. So.
And I'd love to be able to go this year, but we'll be in Florence.
Oh.
I'm actually going to miss the October meeting for that same reason, but I'll say more about that later.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Let's see. We do a motion for adjournment, or do we just adjourn?
You can do either. I mean, I don't
let's
think
just
it's
adjourn.
Yeah,
what the heck? Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we live on the wild side.